Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. He will be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. I am joined in studio by Walker Wildman. And now, Steve Jordahl from One News Now. Good morning, / good afternoon, Steve.
Good day to everybody
there
in the world.
Go. Good day.
Good day.
Good day. All right. while I was off on vacation, was looking forward to Notre Dame playing Clemson
in the
NCAA football playoffs.
And being a good Catholic, I'm supposing you – wait a minute. No.
No, I'm not Catholic. But that's Catholic school. And growing up, since my dad's side of the family was Catholic,
I
started rooting for Notre Dame and have been a Notre Dame fan ever since. And but once again, I was sadly disappointed as Clemson crushed Notre Dame in the playoff, 30-3. And there are people all over, you know, listening, saying, "Well, so what?" Well, we do have a pretty interesting story in the aftermath of that, I believe. Right?
We do, and I watched a little bit of football. I got this, by the way. I've got this theory if. If I know something about the sport, I can make intelligent predictions about who's going to win a game. But if I'm not really following, and college football is something I don't follow that regularly, I just go ahead and take the matchup of the mascots. A tiger would definitely beat a leprechaun. So that's
wait,
why I
that's how
taken.
You make predictions.
Oh, yeah. What a measuring stick!
It works well. In fact, I saw it yesterday. I don't know if anybody. I did watch a little bit of the Texas Georgia game and. And you would think, as you would guess, a big, huge longhorn would take a bulldog. It would be over a bulldog. In fact, we saw that at the beginning. The Texas mascot, the longhorn, the bull got loose and charged the bulldog.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I'm still
he scampered away.
That this is the way you decide who's going to win a football game.
Someone who loves NASCAR and is not really into football, that's what you do.
That's right. Well, colors? I don't know. How do you? They don't have mascots.
You're talking about NASCAR?
Yeah. In NASCAR.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm talking about someone who's not really.
Right.
You're not a big football junkie.
No, I'm a big NFL fan.
Yeah.
So
it's like that works. Now, the people are going to accuse me of being sexist here, and probably rightfully so after I say what I'm going to say.
Yes. Say it anyways,
okay? I'm going to say it anyway.
We're a PC-free zone.
You know, where you know, sometimes ladies, some ladies follow football,
yeah.
But the majority probably don't, where a lady might say, I'm going to go for that team over there because their uniform's pretty.
Yeah.
There you go.
Colors are pretty.
Or a guy watching a beauty pageant and going...
Careful.
Yeah, be very careful here.
Yeah, I don't know, but trying to use something like, you know, she's from that state, so
okay.
You know.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say because you don't want to say public on the air.
Yeah, so
where,
I'm
where
stop
a guy
talking.
Will say will think that any woman is beautiful because the only one he finds beautiful is his wife,
right. Good job, Ed.
I'm just trying to save you.
Yeah. So anyways, y'all keep talking amongst yourselves.
Okay. All right. So
So anyway, that is it's a scientifically proven way of determining.
Who's going to win?
Who's going to win? It is. But as you said, Clemson beat Notre Dame. And in fact, they are headed to the national championship game, which is going to be next Monday.
Against Alabama.
The Tide.
Their mascot's an elephant, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Crimson Tide, but that mascot's an elephant.
Well, an elephant against a tiger. I was thinking a Tide against a tiger.
You know,
tiger
your system might come out true again.
I know. Yeah. I tell you, it's scientific. But if you're looking for a reason to root for Clemson or choose a team, you have no dog in the game. Is it dog in the game?
Dog in the fight.
In the fight, as they say. You might want to look no further than the quarterback of Clemson. His name is Trevor Lawrence. And do you remember the movie Remember the Titans?
Oh yeah,
remember? And when Sunshine showed up in Texas
from
with the long hair and everything,
quarterback.
This guy looks a lot like Sunshine. He does. He's got long hair and everything. But listen to the way he answered questions about whether he was bowing to the pressure. This is at a press conference shortly after the game with Notre Dame. This is what he had to say.
Football's important to me, obviously, but it's not my life. It's not like the biggest thing in my life, I would say. My faith is. So that just comes from kind of knowing who I am outside of that. So I just know no matter how big the situation is, it's not really going to define me. Just putting my identity in, you know, what Christ says, who he thinks I am and who I know that he says I am. So really, like I said, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what people think about me or how good they think I play or whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. So that's definitely been a big thing for me, just in my situation, just knowing that and having confidence in that.
You know, I really like that answer. Now, I have not heard it. We talked about it in our story meeting. I did not know he had made these comments. I didn't know much about him, frankly, his personal life.
He came
life.
In, he took over in the middle of the season, or at the beginning of the season.
Now, is he a senior? Is he?
No. What year is he? I have to look.
Okay.
I don't think he's a senior, though.
Okay. Anyway, I like that answer. He's
freshman.
A freshman.
Yeah.
I like that answer because sometimes athletes, and listen, I am all for athletes giving glory to God.
I know where you're going here.
You know, but, yeah. You know, sometimes when you say, well, I just want to thank God, we just want to thank Jesus for helping us, when I'm not sure God, I have no idea what God's doing. I don't speak for God. I have a hard time believing. Did God choose you guys?
Care?
Does he care? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you don't hear many athletes say, well, I just want to thank God for this loss.
No.
Because it's going to make me a stronger person. This, what he said, what Trevor Lawrence said, boy, that was just so good.
Different.
Talking about my identity. My identity is not as a football player. I enjoy it. It is important to me. I try to get better at it. My identity is in Christ. And I found that refreshing. That
was, I think it's something also to keep in mind if, you know, it's easy for us to think that someone who's a starting quarterback at Clemson or in the NFL or any of these other high-profile, a lot of money, a lot of fame positions have it made, and yeah, they say that. But this is something you can apply if you're the factory worker,
right?
And you're having a bad day, or you wish you know life was better,
yeah.
But it's not who you.
By him saying I don't, my identity is not in football, is that you know that applies to a lot of Christians who are in various situations, like you said, and he won the game. They won the game, so he was having a good day. And even on a good day, in worldly standards, he said, "You know, my identity's not in football," which is refreshing coming from someone who may win the national championship next week.
And I'll just say this: well, I don't want to get too far off topic here, but the issue of identity politics has become very real and overshadows a lot of other things that have to do with what's going on in our culture. But for example, I've heard Christians make the argument, Christians who have come out of homosexuality, for example, they say, listen, my identity is not tied up in sexuality.
Right.
I don't self-identify as even a heterosexual, let alone a homosexual.
Right.
I identify
right.
as a Christian mm-hmm. who has sexual issues that I'm dealing with.
Right.
And so I think that is a solid Christian perspective to say, listen, the Christian has his identity in Christ. Anything else that's going on in your life is secondary to that. That's your starting point. Mm-hmm.
And that takes boldness. And
yes.
Some might say, no, not really. I mean, he's so popular. He's starting quarterback. But to say the name of Christ in America in 2019, you know, on national television, that's a little risky from a worldly standpoint because there's not everybody sympathizes with that.
Right.
And many people are hostile actually towards that. It didn't used to be like that, but it is now. So that in and of itself, mentioning the name of Christ in a press conference on national television takes some boldness.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just going to say, and I know we have a lot of listeners in Alabama, so please extend some grace to me, but I am rooting for Clemson just because, listen, I'm tired of Alabama winning every year.
You're not alone, Ed.
Yes. So I was going to vote. I was going to be rooting for Clemson regardless, but now that I hear what this quarterback Trevor Lawrence said, and there's probably, I'm sure there's plenty of fine Christians on Alabama too, but I like what this kid said, and so that's just yet another reason to root for Clemson.
Brian Fisher tweeted out the same response here just a little while ago.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So yeah, there
All
you
right.
go.
What else we got?
It's sometimes fun when the left eats itself alive. I find it a little amusing. Well, the Women's March is in trouble. A couple of the marches, you know, they traditionally march in January, the first one being after President Trump a couple of years ago was elected, and a bunch of women's march and their silly hats and everything. And they've been taking some heat recently because the founders of this, or at least Tamika Mallory, who is the one of the founders, has been buddy-buddy with Louis Farrakhan, who is a very big anti-Semite, and she's refusing to distance herself from it. And I think it's costing the group. Organizers in New Orleans have decided that they are going to cancel their January 19th, what they call the Sister March, because participation and fundraising have dropped dramatically. Someone said in the newsroom that Chicago is also canceling theirs. I read that they actually marched in October and that they're doing something else in January, but they're not having a march. And who'd want to march in Chicago in January anyway, really? I mean, come to
yeah.
think of it.
Yeah, that's going
to
be cool.
So something. They have these marches separate from the one in Washington, D.C.?
Right, right. It's kind of like the March for Life does the same thing. You have the big one in Washington, D.C., but a lot of people can't afford or don't have time to get to Washington, D.C. They'll hold a local march in their own town, and the Women's March is doing some of the same thing. There's another one that was canceled in Humboldt County. Now, Humboldt County is in Northern California, they canceled theirs because of a lack of what they say is a lack of diversity, and and this is intersectional politics at its very best. They said that they were concerned because participants were overwhelmingly white. The decision is made up after many conversations between local social change organizations and supporters of the march. Up to this point, participants have been overwhelmingly white, lacking representation from several perspectives in the community. So when they say they've been in conversations with local social change organizations, I have a feeling the social change organizations started the conversation. And because I was curious about Humboldt County. They want to bring more people of color and more, I'm assuming, like gay and lesbian type people into the march. Humboldt County in 2010, the census found that it was 81% white, 82% white, 1.1% African American.
What were the others? Just very like Latino?
5.3% Latino or Hispanic races. No, 9% Hispanic races.
Gotcha.
So they're well under. So it's kind of hard to imagine having a quarter of the marchers be people of color, as they like to say, in Humboldt County. Humboldt County is known for its logging operations. As far as gay people there are at least two, I know, because they're having a party coming up. It's called the Lumber Hunk thing, and I brought a picture to show you guys. We may or may not post it, depending on what you think. But there's not
a joke?
No.
It looks like a joke.
It does. There's not a large pop. You got to assume at most it's going to be typical of the national representation, which is 2 to 3%.
So Humboldt County is canceling their women's march because it's
overwhelmingly
too white?
White and non-representation of other, yes. In a county that's 82% white to begin with.
But you know, to the larger point here, the women's march in D.C. My wife and I actually drove right through the women's march, which is a horrible idea. We left on the day after the inauguration. We left for the airport. I think you and your wife Diane were there too, Ed. Y'all may have left at a different time, but we left right when the women's march started, and we got stuck downtown D.C. by the Capitol, right in the middle of the women's march, and their people are swarming the vehicle, hitting the hood and stuff, and it was a little unnerving, to say the least. But the reason I say that, there were hundreds of thousands of people there protesting the Trump presidency. That was and it looked, for the most part, organic. I don't know if some of these people were paid or not. But to see that the women's...
Paid all of those. Yep.
No, not all of them, but maybe the transportation, busing them in and things like that. But to see that the women's march throughout the U.S. is kind of falling apart and they're having trouble getting momentum for various reasons, that's interesting to see that, considering the left is projecting, you know, an enormous amount of hate for President Trump out there in middle America. But is it really there?
When we say, that's a good question, number one. But when we say intersectionality, it's a big term that's come to the left fairly recently. Identity politics, we used to understand as everybody has certain amount of privilege points, they say, I guess. And, of course, you're more special if you're a person of color because there's fewer of you and all of these different identity groups. And the Democrats went after each of these identity groups and played up their victimhood. But intersectionality says that they're now starting to rank each other as far as who's more privileged and more or less privileged and more victim oriented. And you can actually take tests where they say you're online, you know, your privilege points. I would be way a lot of privilege points, like golf.
So they give you points for every particular category you can claim.
I'm white
for yourself.
I'm white. That's a couple of privilege points. I'm
But you're right. That's how the Democrats
Christian.
are. That's the where they're moving. Is everybody's a victim,
right?
Unless you're a white male, then you're not a victim.
But
everybody else is.
But now they're competing against each other. So when it comes to something like Humboldt County,
they can't even hold the event.
All the women are of some sort of class of, you know, by definition, women. I think they say are either underrepresented or somehow powerless and victims. But now they're saying, you know, women of color are more victim-oriented than white women and gay. And if you're poor and if you're especially like Latino now, just all these different privilege points. And it doesn't hold up. They're eating – it's actually eating the movement alive. And I think this is a little bit of what you're seeing. The Tamika Mallory anti-Semitism thing has a lot to do with it as well.
There's one quick question, then we move on to something else. Is the reason that most of these women's marches are in January, is that because it's Pro-Life Month?
Well, no, I think
any connection to that? I'm wondering why they picked January.
It was the week before the pro-life march. The reason they picked it was because January and the inauguration of President Trump.
That's just once
That's
every 4 years, though. They've been having these
marches.
Yeah,
but they have an annual. They had the first one to commemorate or to protest
Remember,
Trump.
That's where Madonna talked about blowing up the White House.
Yeah,
and
but
then
but
every year they have an anniversary march.
Oh, okay. So this didn't start before Trump was inaugurated.
No, I think it started because
right.
of Trump.
Because of
the Planned Parenthood and others, other leftist organizations.
Right.
But then again, what do I know? Because I'm white, male, straight.
A lot of privilege
Christian,
points.
And, and we can't correct you because we're white, too. And
that's right.
Males,
you fit in all those.
Well, maybe we just need to cut the broadcast short.
You got the Italian thing going, though. That might be good for some victim points.
What are you saying, Steve?
I'm saying
we're low. I'm lower.
Surely you're a victim somewhere.
I'm lower on the totem pole because I'm Italian.
There's fewer of you, and there was a lot of Italian anti-Italian sentiment.
That's true.
You know, sometime
100 years ago. Yeah, that's right. All right,
World War I.
Let's see what else we got.
All right, I got. I want to save a minute or two at the end here, but let's talk about the Democrats are starting to go after lower. Levels. I think they see the danger of President Trump stacking the courts. You know, it's obvious when there's a Supreme Court nomination, they need to protest that if they want to stop President Trump from getting his nominees and lower courts like appeals courts too. But now they're starting to attack just the regular lowest level of federal judge, and they found one a guy they don't like in Brian Buescher. And he is in Nebraska. He is taking a seat, or is up for a seat in Nebraska. But Mazie Hirono from Hawaii and Kamala Harris from California have decided that he's out of bounds because he's a member of the Knights of Columbus, a Catholic organization which holds to Catholic doctrine, which says that marriage is, you know, between a man and a woman. And that life is sacred. And this is during the hearing. I want to play you a little clip of Mazie Hirono. This is Hawaii's Mazie Hirono at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing recently in addressing Mr. Buescher.
You have stated unequivocally that you will not compromise on abortion based on your moral fabric. So I think I heard you say that you do recognize the validity of the Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade, but, you know, you have a moral duty to consider abortion to be legal. So if you have any cases before you that raise the question of a woman's right to choose, would you recuse yourself?
You have a moral duty to consider abortion legal, and she says should recuse yourself if abortion ever comes before you.
Well, but my understanding from his standpoint is that Roe versus Wade is the controlling decision. He would have to legally consider that.
And his answer to her was, one, I cannot really give you an opinion right now about how I'm going to...
Hypothetical,
how I'm going to rule in cases that might come before you. And two, Roe v. Wade is the controlling decision right now in the law of the land. Now, there could be cases, and pro-lifers are working hard to find cases that they're going to throw up the ladder.
You know what's interesting here, and this kind of brings up a point separate than what we originally brought this up for, but this shows that constitutional judges, conservative judges, and even some conservatives will disagree with me on this, but constitutional judges recognize the authority of the Supreme Court in that their rulings are final rulings unless Congress changes something. But left-wing judges don't care about what the Supreme Court says.
No.
Because you have lower court judges going contrary to the Supreme Court on these various Trump cases,
immigration
cases. Right. The Supreme Court will correct the record and set it straight on presidential authority when it comes to immigration. These lower court judges in California and other places go the next week, they'll rule contrary to what the Supreme Court just ruled on because they have no respect for the authority of the Supreme Court.
And somehow they think they can make it a national ruling.
Yeah, the nationwide injunctions. Right. But this just shows that even constitutionalists respect the authority, right or wrong, of the Supreme Court rulings.
Which, by the way, is kind of one of the reasons why you are never quite sure what you're going to get when you get a conservative justice, like an Antonin Scalia. John Roberts actually has been one of the most prime examples of that, because they might find the Constitution doesn't always side with what we would like.
Right.
You know, free speech is free speech for everybody, for example,
right.
And we don't like necessarily someone being able to say something that's against Christianity, but the Constitution says, you know, free speech.
I think that the reason for what you're talking about, Walker, is because generally speaking, now this is a broad statement, so I know there are good people on the left and people who believe in truth and those kind of things, but the vast majority, kind of the worldview, is moral relativism. They don't believe in absolute truth.
Right.
On the right, generally, you do believe in absolute truth, and that holds, that's elevated to a position where you say the Bible, for example, is absolute truth, God's word. The Constitution is true. Therefore, we must abide by it. On the left, you have all this relativism, and so it doesn't matter what anything means. All that's important is the moment right now where I have the power to say what I want to see done.
And the intention.
And they'll say it's a living document.
Right.
Remember,
for that
Hillary Clinton, 2016, October, last debate with President Trump, they were asked about the Supreme Court, what kind of judge would you appoint? And Hillary said something about a judge that knows the feelings of today.
Yes.
Or what people want today, or something like that. But it wasn't one that will rule based on facts and historical.
And that's primarily the difference between conservative and, I will say, progressive liberal, whatever you want to say.
Oftentimes
the secular
left,
is that they'll say, well, look, we don't agree with what the Supreme Court said on guns, so we're going to ignore it. You know why? Because right now, as a judge, as a district judge, I have the power to say what I want reality to be.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's unfair. I think maybe for some people it might not apply, but for the vast majority on the left, it does. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today's issues. We welcome you to listen to more great programming directly ahead on the American Family Radio Network. Bye for now.